All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Radio Statler. Back to our live feed here. Right now in the audience, we have...
I'm the Rodent with 2600.net. We also have...
Handler from Canada.
Handler from Canada and...
Maxim from Zurich, Switzerland.
Dodgy Dave from London, England.
Okay, is the audio coming through good on all the guys?
Yep, we're all sounding good.
Okay, good. Well, we're here just to do a little time filler, but we have a lot of good conversations, so I figured it'd be a good group of guys to bring on Radio Statler here. I'm doing a show tonight at 9 p.m., precursor to the 11 o'clock talk that I'm doing. But we still have plenty to talk about here. I thought it'd be good to bring on some of our international folks that have traveled far and made good effort to make a good showing out for Hope and for 2600. And so Handler's from Canada. We got Maxim from Zurich, Switzerland, and then Dodgy Dave from England. So, you know, so that's kind of the precursor, the opening to what we're going to talk about here now, and then whatever else comes to our minds. So if anyone's listening out there, thanks for listening in. And I don't know, who traveled the farthest? Let's figure it out. Who traveled the farthest?
Probably me.
Really?
Yes, about 5,000 miles, 4,000 miles.
4,000 or 5,000 miles? Yeah. And what about you? You're a little deeper into the...
Oh, no, actually. No,
I think mine was like 6,000 something.
Oh, no, 6, yeah.
6,000 miles.
Okay,
okay. Yeah. All right, so who had the most pimped out plane ticket? Did any of you guys fly first class or... come on, Maxim, I know how you travel, yo.
I had the worst economy seat, I tell you. I swear to God, the economy seat got smaller since the last time I traveled.
They trimmed down another couple inches on the side and on your knees.
It was terrible. Well, I mean, the flight itself was good, but the seat was, yeah.
Okay.
And not the person in front of me.
And then cheaper.
And then I know, Handler, you traveled really far. You had to hike out of the forest, like,
yeah, that's true.
122 kilometers, and then drive your truck down to the border, and then... through the water and the river, yeah, and then get harassed by DHS, NSA, TSA.
Well, you probably had the longest ride then, though. How long was your trip?
Oh, well, I drove for about 2 hours, and then I got on a bus for a couple hours.
Well,
so I think in total it probably took me like 10 hours.
So that's my trip was like eight and a half hours.
Yeah, seven of eight, no more than that for myself. Yeah. So.
Pretty nice bus ride though through Pennsylvania.
Do you have Wi-Fi in it?
No, it's supposed to. Megabus sucks.
Megabus does indeed suck.
It does. Yeah.
But it gets you there, right?
But it's cheap.
It is cheap. And so me, I traveled from Washington, D.C. So I took the train out here, and it was a whole 2.5 hours, and I was on Wi-Fi the whole time, chatting and trolling and making friends with people in the dining car.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
They have alcohol in the dining car?
They do have lots of alcohol in the dining car. Not too much. I had a beer and a hamburger, and I worked on my talk a little bit, and mostly hung out with the math crab. And that's about it for me. So I guess maybe I had the most luxurious travel.
Yeah,
the
it
most,
sounds like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm really surprised because I did this whole trip on the cheapest, lamest budget I've ever done a con.
Well, that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
It's all about trying, but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Well, and Dodgy Dave here, I mean, it was kind of a last-minute thing where we were talking to you and kind of poking at you, saying, hey, you should come. And
an hour later, I've got tickets.
Yeah.
Nice.
But saying that with travels, actually, I was probably the most sort of drunk because I had meant to be bringing some ale here for Rodent and a few others to try. And the airline made me drink the whole lot before I got on a plane, or get rid of the whole lot. So 6 cans of... London Pride just before I boarded flight.
Yeah, so I asked him, I was like, hey, because I spent a month and a half over in the UK, really enjoyed it over there, great people, good food, some good women over there and stuff, and it was a lot of fun, good work. And so I asked Dodgy Dave to bring over like some beer or something that I missed, and so you had to pound it all at the airport, the whole sixer?
Oh, man.
Really?
And I had a window seat, so I felt sorry for the people sitting next to me. So, it was for the first hour of the flight. It was quite irregular.
Yeah. Burping out the top or out the bottom?
No, just literally six six pints need to come out.
Oh, so you had to use the restroom, get up out of the, you're like, excuse me, guys, I'm like, damn it again. Like, man, did you get up for the pisser like 9 times?
I did offer to swap, but they didn't, so.
Oh, you offered to swap? See, what a gentleman these British people are. But not on IRC, he's not a gentleman. No. No, I'm kidding. Actually, this is a really nice guy on IRC, and so same thing with Maxim. We get to chat with this guy off and on. And how about you? How was your plane flight?
It was a quiet flight, really. I had a person sit next to me who was flying to Honolulu, so I felt sorry for her, because like a 24-hour trip from Zurich.
Yeah.
She went to New York, and then to San Francisco, and then over to Honolulu, so it's quite a ride. But other than that, I carried Cuban cigars, and they did not discover them.
How many of those you got,
so
buddy?
Maybe I got a couple of those.
They're just illegal to sell. You can have them. They're not like, they won't confiscate.
I'm not sure. I never told them. So I don't know how that works, quite frankly. But, exactly. No, I mean, there was nothing really. I mean, I deliberately did not tweet about me going to Hope or going to the U.S. before I actually entered the U.S.
Yeah, I did the same thing, yeah.
But after you get to through the, you know, actually, and it just reminds me of the last talk, the keynote speech with William Binley. You know, he was talking about the NSA and all that stuff, and I was thinking, you know, back in like 1984, I once traveled to Eastern Germany and they took my fingerprints and my picture, and here I am, and they just took my fingerprints and pictures yesterday.
Wow. Yeah. So how'd you feel about that?
Well, it's not the first time that happened, right? I just kind of wonder what they do with it. It's like, next time I'll ask them, what did it change?
You should have. Is it any different?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Did that operation work?
Every single time you come in, you give your fingerprint, you take a picture, and, you know, it's kind of weird, but so, know, I guess.
So the last few times that you traveled through here, did you have to do that?
Yeah, every single time.
Every single time.
Every single time you have to do it.
Fingerprint,
yep. Fingerprint, picture. Yep.
Really?
Somebody here to see you?
We have listeners? Oh, hold on. Oh, my God.
People on the IRC, Rodan, you should pay some more attention to your...
Hello, IRC listeners.
IRC... IRC.
I'm sorry?
It stands for I Really Care.
And Justin TV viewers also.
Yeah, we're on this webcam. What is it? Radio Dash Dialer? I thought I idled this channel.
No, it's radio.hope.net or something.
No, so yeah, we're on radio.hope.net, but then...
And on Justin TV.
On IRC.
And IRC, but what channel? Radio Dash Dialer?
Yeah.
There we go. Sorry, I was neglecting this channel. Hello, Pound Radio Statler. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions,
I'll... So you must have been in line roughly about the same time, right? Because I landed around 12:30.
Oh, yeah, it was a massive queue. That was absolutely... Yeah.
So there's a question on Justin TV here. They're asking why they take your prints.
Oh, why they take the prints?
Everybody who is not a U.S. citizen, they fingerprint you and they take your picture.
It's probably to try to cross-reference you to, like, the terrorist watch list and obviously to feed it all to the feds.
You know what? And you know what's funny is there's a country, Brazil, and in their constitution they have this thing that anybody... Anything that anybody does to them, they do to them in reverse. And I remember when the U.S. started to fingerprint people, a judge in Brazil has ruled that U.S. people will have to give their fingerprints. Now, in Brazil, they don't have that technology the way they have it here, so they actually use a stamp pad to fingerprint people. I thought it was funny. But
got your fingerprints, do they have the machine and you...
They do have like a terminal where first you put down all four fingers and then you put the thumb in, and then same thing on the left hand, all four fingers and the thumb. And after that, it's a really cheap Logitech webcam. Here, look here, a picture. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, it's fairly quick, you know, it's... I think they've gotten pretty efficient.
Did you smile for the camera?
No, I didn't.
Nor did I.
Mugshot.
You should take a look past the camera, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you've got this really gormless picture.
I went to Japan a couple of years ago, And they had, did the same thing there with the machine, and you had to give your fingerprints.
Both your thumbs like that?
I think it was my just my thumbs, yeah, in this machine.
So when you drive in from Canada, they do that same thing?
No.
Really?
I don't know. The relationship between Canada and the U.S. is fairly good, so they don't harass you too much at the border.
So if I would fly to Canada and then drive down to the U.S., they wouldn't fingerprint me?
Well, you might have some trouble because you're not a Canadian citizen, so they might be like, interested in that. But I don't know, for a Canadian citizen to drive across the border, it's not a problem, really.
So you're not terrorist yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No, you go in and you give them your passport or your ID or whatever. Now you have to have a passport, I think, or a Nexus or something. And they, you know, ask you where you're going and that sort of stuff. And then they send you off.
Huh.
So, I don't know. Not that bad.
Let me think. When I went to the UK, what did they do to me? I think it might have just been the normal alien probe.
3 hours in the cube as well?
Three hours in the cube? In the queue? In the cube, yeah. In the queue. I'm trying to think when I came through. I don't think they fingerprinted me. I gave them my passport, and they asked me a question or two, and that was that. I don't remember having to do any of that stuff. I'm on that global pass thing.
Yeah.
So when I come back into the States, it's just a passport through that kiosk thing, and they snap a picture, and you get a receipt, and then you go walk over to the thing. And
I actually saw that, so I wonder if non-U.S. citizens can apply for that as well.
Is it possible?
I don't know. I was wondering. I never went.
I went through it just to understand the process, and I've only used it like twice.
Anything to help with those massive long queues where you
So there's another question online here. They're asking, do they record your voice too?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And
Not that I know of, right? Yeah.
I've heard that there was a story recently where they had video cameras to record people, and they were capable of recording audio too, but that they weren't doing that right away.
So actually, that's a good point, because the Logitech webcam that they use does have a built-in microphone. Mm-hmm. I got that same camera at work.
And just by being in that area, you kind of sign away any logical rights of them to do whatever they want with your likeness and your voice and your fingerprints.
Because I guess there is a law that you cannot, there is a law that they cannot just record without your consent, but, you know, at the Customs and Border Control, I don't know how much those laws actually apply, so.
Well, we're actually learning, and because of the conference, I haven't caught too much of the news, but I saw some tweets this morning when I was getting up through my hangover that the federal government has been telling the TSA that they something about the full body scanners, and the TSA isn't complying. So so there may be some contention between the United States' many three-letter agencies about who has the right to anally probe who. And I have never been one for the full body scanners. I, as an American citizen and a constitutionalist that loves my country, to me, whether it's electronic or physically done, it's still a full body strip search. And I cannot trust them to maintain any sense of privacy or decency or respect the laws regarding the storage of that information and whether they're actually dealing anything with it. And plus, as Bruce Schneier says in his blog many times and in his books, that it's a security theater. It does absolutely nothing to keep us safe. So every time I've ever been forced to or asked to go through the full body scanners, I opt out. And I've been patted down, and you know, and when they do it, I give them the full spiel on, you know, what I think about it, and say, hey, I understand you guys are trying to do a job, but this does nothing for my safety, and you know, you get to listen to my spiel as you feel my Johnson. It's a nice one. It's a nice one, isn't it? You know. Yeah, look at that. Look at it.
Full,
and then they're
12
like
inches, right?
They're like, cough. Again. And you know, so I've never gone through the full body scanner. It's and I don't even think visiting people who have, you know, that have a legal passport and are our allies and, you know, so on. They shouldn't have to go through the same thing, you know.
I guess that'll be the interesting piece once the two of us leave the country, because I've never been through the scanner myself either, but that was just because last time I was here was 2 years ago and they didn't have them yet.
So. Yeah, they're kind of a new thing. They probably had them a couple years ago, but not at that airport and so on. They slowly kind of cropped up, and huge waste of money. It does nothing to keep us safe, that'll be interesting. So that's kind of my take on it. But I saw that a tweet, and I haven't read the full news, and I maybe was misquoting what the actual details are, but it was something about how the feds and judges are telling DHS or TSA that they shouldn't or can't be using them or something, and they're not complying. So I was like, wow, they're not even following the court's laws and so on, or whatever it is. I'll find out what this true story is, but I'm not really surprised. Unfortunately,
they actually have those scanners in Canada too. But
do they really?
It's not. I don't. It's not like a random search kind of thing. It's only if they pick you out for something already, I think.
Sure. When I went to the Philippines to do a pen test over there, and I had to fly Hawaiian Air through Hawaii to get over there, and so I went out of Las Vegas with the international terminal, which is different than their normal domestic terminal. And I knew the guy was messing with me from TSA. He told me as I was unloading and going through the X-ray to put my stuff through the X-ray conveyor belt, he told me to keep my watch on. He's like, hey, you don't have to take off your watch. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he's like, no, you don't. And so I was like, okay. And I walked through the metal detector. Of course, it went off. And then he used that as the excuse to pat me down. And I called him out on it, too. Like, I was like, dude, I was supposed to take off my watch. You just wanted to pat me down. And like, I know I'm a sexy guy, but you know, like, I didn't say that part. But I was like, really, dude? Like, that was totally unnecessary. If you just wanted to pat me down, you could ask. I'm happy to. Like, it was really strange. It was the first time I ever saw a TSA agent really kind of go out of their way to fuck with you. And it was kind of interesting. And I don't see that too often, but... when I'm in line going through that, and especially flying domestically, like, I tell people, like, you don't have to do this. You can opt out of that full body scanner. We're still American citizens. The Bill of Rights is still semi-intact. Constitution's still available to us somewhat, and you don't have to do that. Do you really trust them to keep that semi-naked image of you on their computers, and then it's not going to get leaked, or someone's not in the back doing something unethically with it? And a lot of people think about that when you put it in those terms, and that it is just an electronic strip search, and it doesn't matter if it's electronic or not. So anyways, that's my spiel on that. So that was the experience. Now, didn't they kind of drilled you hand?
Oh, they were just asking me, like, who I was going to see, so...
Which terrorist group are you going to visit while you're here?
Yeah, no, they were just asking who I was going to visit and where I was staying, and...
Yeah.
I drove over in my car, so they wanted to look in the trunk, too, but I didn't have anything else.
And did they find your stash of maple syrup?
No, I hid that in my backpack.
And that isn't a troll. I'm not joking. This man makes the best homemade maple syrup.
The best.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, this yank here thinks it's the best maple syrup. He makes it from his own trees and his own maple syrup cooking shack.
Sugar Shack,
is that what it's called? That's the technical term. And so they didn't find the maple syrup.
No, it's fine anyways, because it's like a prepared product.
Even the whole 50-gallon jug?
No, it's a half a liter.
Half a liter. We're going to have to
stretch
that.
I think once you get over like a certain amount, you have to get like an import thing or something if you're going to sell it. But
Yeah,
because it's not like... I think if you wanted to bring like the raw sap or something, maybe they might have...
Interesting. Yeah, and do you like split it up into small quantities so that you can distribute it and sell it on the street and stuff like that?
I mean, no, I bring it in bulk.
You bring it in bulk?
Yeah.
And then you cut it and split it when you're down here?
Well, I have people for that.
You have people for that? Yeah. Your whole distribution network to get that syrup out on the streets? Yeah. Oh man, this fine gentleman sent me in a maple syrup reentry vehicle.
Yeah.
A nice fine jar of the maple syrup, and I milked it for a long time, and there's still like a little remnants in the bottom of the jar. And when I'm feeling lonely, thinking about my good Canadian buddies, I lick the jar. It is so. It's not too sugary. It's not too woody. Very good stuff. So they didn't harass you about the maple syrup.
No.
But they drilled you, like, because you weren't prepared. You got to be ready for this. When you're social engineering to get over the bridge or over the border, you got to know your answers. You got to be like...
Yeah. Well, they go through so many people, too, is that they don't have, like... They're just like, asking you the questions, bam, bam, bam. And so I don't go across the border very often.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of like, let me think about
it. I'm going to see, okay, not okay. I mean...
Yeah. But no, I don't know. They don't really care. They're just kind of looking at it.
I'm going to see Uncle Rodent. I mean, his name's Andrew, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Right on. So after that, then they checked the car. Did they make you cough? Did they cup you gently?
No. I stayed in the car the whole time. They just showed him my passport. He asked me questions. Popped the trunk. Looked in there. I was like, all right, see you later.
So when you go back over, do you think that they're just like going to do the linguist test and see how you pronounce about? So they'd be how about your trip? How was it? And you'll be like, oh, it was a boat. And they'll be like, all right, just let him in.
Yeah. Well, when you go back, like, they got to, like, how much goods are you
Well, after
back
I
in?
Sold all that maple syrup on the streets of New York, I got about $14,000.
Yeah. But they'll, I think, like, because I'm here for more than 48 hours, I can spend up to $800 worth of stuff, and I can bring that back with me without paying, like, import.
They let the Canadians go big spending down here in the States.
It's good now because our dollar is...
better than ours.
Well, it's not better yet, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, same for me. I traveled with two t-shirts and, you know, one pair of underwear, and that's pretty much it. And
I travel pretty light too. Yeah,
we're gonna do a lot of shopping.
Is it called a Canadian dollar, or is it called like the Kanikistan bill, or the
well, a Canadian dollar? But
is it the like, dollar?
It's a loony.
A loony.
Yeah, I don't have any in my pocket. Otherwise, I'd show you.
What the fuck
but
is a loony?
If you Google it. It's the $1 coin.
The $1
coin. It's got a loon
coin.
On it, so I call it a loony.
So, do they record voice? And someone else is like, is anyone going to talk about software technology instead of getting us all in the lap of the NSA? Is that in general at the conference or like what we're talking about here on the radio?
Let's talk about telephone.
Yeah.
We can talk about telephone.
Well, which feed are you listening to?
I was just looking on Justin TV. There's a question
talking
that came by
Canadian
there.
Canadian plastic money. Yeah, in my job, I work a till, so I handle a lot of money. And I get the plastic bills, and they're pretty cool. They got like a little see-through plastic window in it with a hologram. If you you Google them, you can look those up too. But they suck. They suck to handle because they like... don't, because normally you can just kind of like flick the paper.
Sure,
bills
yeah.
But the plastic ones are like all kind of slippery.
Sure,
and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's...
No, I have like some Singaporean bills and some other plastic bills.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought was kind of neat about it is that there's a part of it that's see through.
Yeah.
And I think it's nylon that they're made out of or some.
I'm not sure.
Something like that. But no, I've noticed that you can't, like, our bills are made out of paper and cotton.
Yeah, that's the same with our.
And you can grab them very easily. They don't take sweat. They don't. They handle water pretty good, and but hey, I will tell. What was this guy's name? Dub, Deb, Drub.
There's some Canadian money for
Canadian loonies.
That's a Canadian 20.
A Canadian 20, huh? Look at that. The good old Queen.
Yeah.
How you doing?
So that's how much now? That's about what? $25?
$25?
American? No, it'd be like 19 something American.
Oh, so it's.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought your dollar was better than ours.
No, we're not right now.
Yeah,
really?
Ours are better now.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
I think when I got my cash exchanged, it was like 0.94 or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I need that.
What do you got?
These are 50 francs, so that's probably about $55 to $60. I don't know.
Yeah, because your Swiss money is worth all kinds.
Yeah, our Swiss money is still worth something.
who's on that?
Yeah,
bill?
Who is that? Oh, come on!
You're
from the country. You got to know a little history.
Usually they got like scientists on or mathematicians or something like that. So, and actually the name's written on it, so you can just read it off, right?
Is it?
Yeah,
is this her name? No, Banca. Franken.
See.
So, Deb
one.
Drup, dude, yeah, the coughing
Sophie
joke
Clover
was a joke. It was not meant to be like a factual representation of what the TSA did when I traveled through that region, but thanks for playing, bro.
I don't actually have any money
five,
to show.
Canadian 5. Who's that?
Laurier. I believe.
He looks rather prestigious and. Sir Wilfrid Laurier, Premier Minister. Oh, yeah, nice. Well,
on the back, it's got hockey players, too, which is
oh,
pretty cool.
Damn, Canadians have to have their hockey everywhere.
We got hockey players on our money.
Hockey players on the money, man. You know they fucking love hockey.
No, I don't have any plastic bills. The only plastic ones are 50s and 100s, and I'm poor, so I don't get those.
I know the feeling, bro. So, what else? We'll wrap up with a little bit more of the money. Let's see what old Dodgy Dave has got for some pounds. I got a British.
It's funny. We've got two guys from Europe, and neither of them are from Euro countries.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, "Oh, the Euro," and now it's like Eurozone crash.
Yeah.
You dumbasses. there's a 20 euro. I think I have a British pound in here somewhere.
You don't hold the meter.
I got a bunch of euros. Yeah. See, here we go. I got a 10 pound. 10 spotter.
Oh, 10. Okay.
I got a lot of euros, man.
I was actually living in Europe when they switched over from. I was living in Germany, so
when they switched from the Deutschmarks
to the euros, and it was like a 1-to-1 dollar to euro.
The Bank of England.
Cool. Oh, that's the one with Darwin on the back.
Is it Darwin? Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to ruin everyone's religion.
Apparently.
So. Yeah. So we've talked about travel and we talked about the security and lack thereof, of the ridiculousness of the money our country is spending, invading our privacy and trying to keep us safe very inefficiently and so on, and had a little joke or two about all that, and all in good humor and good fun. So all of us, and by kind of proxy and directly, are involved with this awesome project called Telefreak. And so while we got some time, let's talk about that a little bit. It was a great idea. And you can read about it on telefreak.org. And one of the things that they're doing here through Jay Falcon and Beav, and mostly Jay Falcon's fine engineering and hardware and ingenuity and inspiration, is he's brought us an open GSM network here. So if you have an unlocked GSM cell phone, stop by the Telefreak table and you can pick up a Telefreak branded SIM card. And either now or very shortly, we'll have a fully operational system so that you can dial out, dial each other, and there'll be free long distance to anywhere in the world. And it'll be the first time we're doing this. The Germans over at the CCC and Chaos Computer Camp and HAR and other places, mostly through eventphone.de, have done the open GSM networks and done some cool stuff. And so I got eventphone.us, but this is our first stab at it, just kind of throwing it together. And so we'll start out with Maxim, because he's a direct participant with Telefreak, and he points a Skype connector to the Telefreak PBXs. So
Right. Well, I got involved with Voice over IP many years ago, and then, you know, eventually I stumbled over Telefreak, and I thought, wow, this is cool. You know, dialed into some of the conference calls. They're always fun, especially when people get drunk. And then started getting involved with the Asterisk PBX, back in the older days when Skype allowed it, they had this chan_Skype where you actually had to pay a license to Skype, but it was a one-time payment. At first, I had like a beta license, so they gave me like 20 channels because it was free. And once you had to start paying for channels, I bought 3 channels for my own PBX, but I just run it off of that because, you know, the PBX I run is for my own personal use, but you know, we don't use Skype that much, so I just figure when the channels aren't in use for my personal use, I just gave them out to Telefreak. So there is a Telefreak user on Skype. You can call that user, and you're connected to the Telefreak PBX. Now, I think just recently, unfortunately, Skype released new clients that no longer have a touch-tone keypad, right?
No, I just figured out how to do that, actually.
Yeah, Google it, and you got to just catch it.
You
got
to go up in the file menu and then go to show dial pad. Because, yeah, that got me the first time.
Because I know today I wanted to do it from the Android phone, and there I couldn't figure out if you can bring up a dialing pad. Because I know, like, also for my own PBX, I have, like, back doors in it, so you can dial back out again, and Telefreak probably has some of that too, right? So you need, like, be able to send the DTMF.
Yeah, I updated my Skype, and then I was like, where the hell is my dial pad? And then someone was like, oh, it's gone for good. And I was like, no, come on.
Like, yeah, if you're going to call.
It doesn't make
so
any freaking
so many
sense.
So many places that you would need.
That you need? Yeah. I mean, sometimes when you call your voicemail from somewhere else, you need to put in your PIN, or you should have a freaking PIN on your phone.
Or you call, like, a business.
Or a business, or...
Like, press one for
Yeah, exactly.
English.
You can't scream operator until someone comes on. So, yeah, it took me a little bit of Googling and trying, and I was like, no, it's got to be there. And so, on, like, on Windows, it's under the call drop-down menu, and show dial pad. Yeah. And you do it once, and it's there for forever until you close Skype and open it again. So it's definitely there, and it sends.
I don't know why they would bury it like that.
Yeah, it was stupid, and I think it's probably mostly due to Microsoft buying it.
Maybe.
So
they're just asking on there how to spell it. It's TELEFHREAK.org.
It's not FSPH.
You still did it wrong.
Did I? Oh man.
You got it wrong.
So
man.
Tele TELE and then freak PHREAK.org. Telefreak.org.
And there's also a Telefreak channel on the 2600.
Yeah, and there is a pound Telefreak channel on 2600 net. Definitely check it out. It shows the status. There's a bot called Telebot there that you can query with a bunch of cool stuff that Droogie wrote. And so you can check the status of the network and the PBX. And so telefreak.org has a lot of cool information on it. DIDs, SIP information, IAXI information, how to connect to the PBX. And we haven't updated it for the stuff that we're doing here. But also on the, talk.hope.net wiki. There's or wiki.hope.net. There's going to be some information on there. We haven't finished building out the full dial plan, but I'm sure we'll be working late into the night. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday, you can get more detailed information from the wiki and hopefully from telefreak.org regarding how to use the GSM network. So it's up and going, but we're just now starting to get the clients on it and get it going. And it's pretty exciting stuff. So definitely have a stab at it and give us some feedback and let you know what you think. And like I said, I got eventphone.us, and we're already bridged through our PBXs to eventphone.de. So when those conferences are going over there, well, you can call into Telefreak and vice versa. And then eventually eventphone.us and eventphone.de, that'll be a constant connection back and forth of being able to talk. So just like Maxim was saying, like... Telefreak, we're just a bunch of guys that like to hang out and talk on the phone a lot, and late at night, you know, we're, you know, six pack or two into the evening, and, you know, we're just shooting the shit and kind of having fun, you know, and but we're guys that are just technology enthusiasts and love telephones and old school freakers, new school freakers, and
VoIP
folks. VoIP folks, and one of the main founders of Telefreak is by the name of Beav, and you can follow his Twitter, Dabeave, DABEAVE 666. And he wrote iWAR, which is the VoIP, the only voice over IP war dialer tool out there. And so a lot of good things have come out of the Telefreak project and from the core guys that have put it together. And so what else can we go on about Telefreak?
They just got a question there. How do you get on it? You need a, like, there's a couple ways. You can do it through Maxim's Skype thing. If you just go on, you go on Skype and you add the user Telefreak.
Yeah, add the contact Telefreak through Skype and just call it without video. You can call it with video and send the video, but there's no one there to see it.
No video.
But yeah, with Skype is probably the easiest way for the non-VoIP inclined folks. Otherwise, you can get a SIP client. There's Xlite and a wide range of SIP clients for Linux. And just tell it to connect to voip.telefreak.org, and no authentication needed. And when you connect, you'll hear the prompt. press two, numero dos, for the main conference board. And then also, if you look at the website, there's ways to get free voicemail accounts. And otherwise, you can look at the website and look at all the DID numbers. And there's like a...
SIP broker gateways and stuff
IP
like that.
IP call, SIP broker gateways.
Yeah, there's a million ways.
We're probably going to add an iNum number here soon. Someone told me about that.
Did you mention telefreak.org? I think you got a lot of stuff listed on there.
Yeah, there's a bunch on telefreak.org that's been there. It's not always updated, so some DIDs may or may not work, but generally I would say, you know, well over 80% of everything's accurate and it still works. And
we can talk about iNum for a while if you want.
Yeah, you're up to speed on iNum, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So ITG, the guy with the beard who's hanging out over there, he was telling me about getting an iNum number. Okay. So tell me about that. What's all about?
Okay, so iNum is a international country code. It's plus 883 that has been given by the ITU, the International Telecoms Union, to a company instead of a country, and the company is Voxbone, and Voxbone already is a large provider of DIDs all over the world. And the goal really is for iNums to be charged as a local phone call no matter where you are in the world, right? Because it's being terminated using voice over IP technology. I think it's iNum.net, I think is the webpage. They also have, what's interesting is they have a lot of call through phone numbers in various countries, so they have regular phone numbers that you can call, and then you can dial the iNum, and you will be connected to whoever has that iNum. You can get iNum.net will also list where you can get your iNum. There used to be Gizmo, which got bought by That's Google right. and then killed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but Gizmo used to give you an iNum. So actually, from the top of my head, I don't know a public iNum provider that is out there. What was interesting, though, in Switzerland, because I always tested iNums and, you know, when do they actually become reachable from the PSTN or like regular incumbent telco providers. Now, one of the first providers that actually made iNums available in Swisscom was Switzerland was Swisscom, and the second one was Orange. And my wife, she had her cell phone on Orange. And the funny thing is, they didn't know how to bill for it. They just terminated it somehow, but they didn't know what the billing information is behind the iNum. So what Swisscom did is they just took the most expensive. So like they basically charged an iNum call just like satellite phones were charged. So it was outrageously expensive and nobody would want to call it, right? Now Orange did the contrary. They didn't know how to bill it, so they didn't bill it at all, right? So for Orange, it was a free call, right? So what I did at that point was programmed my wife's phone that basically every single call would go through an iNum, through my Asterisk PBX, and then out onto the PSTN. So basically all her phone calls were free on the Orange network, and every single mobile call she made was the price of a VoIP call, which is next to nothing, right? So that worked for about a year. Eventually, 2 months into it, I actually called Orange and asked them to pull up my bill and, you know, pointed them out that there's this weird phone number on there and they're not charging for it. I just wanted to make sure that that's correct. And the person on the other line, you know, she looked at it and she says, yep, that's correct. This is a free call. And for
nice.
Exactly. And for quality and educational purposes, I recorded that conversation, right?
Excellent.
So because... basically a year into it working, they all of a sudden started charging for it as well, and they decided to apply the same approach that Swisscom did, which is they used the most expensive per minute charge that they had. So within like less than a week, my wife racked up a charge more than $5,000. At which point, you know, they actually blocked the phone. They called. They tried to call us. They said we're calling a premium number here. And then I got on the phone with him. I said, well, excuse me, but, you know, 8 months ago, you confirmed that this is a free phone call, and now it's no longer. So I don't see myself paying these $5,000. And we had a little bit of a dispute for about 3 weeks that, you know, I actually, you know, I sent in a letter, but I didn't have to get any lawyers involved. And Orange turned around and they said, you know, listen, because we confirmed to you that these are free phone calls, they're not going to charge me for them. However, going forward, it's no longer free. So it was fun while it lasted.
Do you think that they were getting a tariff by cross-connecting that call or terminating that call from someone else?
Yeah, they probably were able to, because I was also in touch with the people from INOM, and they said they were probably terminating that call through like one of their upstream providers, and they didn't know that that was actually happening.
Sure.
And once they found out that it's being terminated, they had to put a per minute cost against that number. And because they didn't know how it's being charged, they just put the maximum against it. That's probably what happened.
Bastards.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I think if all the telcos would actually start to embrace INUMS and, you know, charge it at a reasonable cost, and the reasonable cost I think should be a local phone call, because termination doesn't cost anything. Voxbone doesn't charge anybody to terminate the call, right?
Yeah.
So if they charge a cost of a local phone call, they still make money on it. And INUM would finally become what it's meant to be, which is a local phone number that works globally, right?
Yeah. So do you think it'd be worth it trying to connect INUM to Telefreak?
Yes, I think so. I think we should try to get an INUM for it.
Okay.
Just because I think eventually INUM could be something that potentially will take off.
Cool.
Right?
Cool.
Even though, actually, if you think, you know, like 20 years ahead, and it's really hard to make predictions in telco and what's happening in
telco. Sure, it's changing
years.
So much.
It's changing so much, right? But, you know, maybe in 20 years we won't need anything. It's just going to be SIP URIs, just like our email addresses, right? But I think for the time being, the phone numbers are still going to be there, and as long as we have them, I think we should also have an INUM.
And I should point out that no matter what, if there's someone wrong on the internet, they, you know, the champions of the internet need to come and fight the war for it or something to that effect. I was corrected that there's no longer the only VoIP war dialer out there is iWar, but there's some newcomer
War
that
Box
hasn't even gotten to a release state,
right,
called WarVox.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Yeah. And I did want to go back over to Dodgy Dave here and get some of his feedback and experience with Voice over IP in the UK, and what is the presence and what it's like over there. And I know you guys get raped with tariffs like just walking down the street, but like, so what's it like for Voice over IP? Do you have any experience with that over there?
No, that's something I'm getting into now as we speak, so I've not actually done much of that before.
Okay.
But I have been a lot involved with the work setup of the sort of Cisco phones, internal sort of IP, Voice over IP.
So you've done that's some professional VoIP stuff.
Professional VoIP, that's the only stuff I've done, and that's really down to the point of playing with them. Sort of, they had spoof the call manager server to be another one, so you could start changing people's ringtones and messing about with the phones and things.
Sure.
So that plus a bit of support. So, but that's one of my areas I'm looking into more in detail recently.
Cool.
So, fortunately, I can't add much else onto that. So, but the professional side of things, it's interesting. There's nothing. No 2 days the same.
Sure. Well, if you ever want to experiment, you know, feel free to get on Telefreak and talk with the guys out there and pound Telefreak. We're always off and on, depending on how busy we are. We're on or off the conference or on and off the IRC, you know, chatting about stuff. But a lot of big voice over IP enthusiasts and people who do it professionally and just for fun, and it's like the new breed of freaking. So, you know, definitely I encourage you to if you want to fuck around with it. And
definitely.
Yeah,
I joined the channel about 2 weeks ago, so I'm getting
Yeah. And so me, I've done a lot of telco in my older days of being net admin, sysadmin, and network engineering, and worked with data centers in Las Vegas and California and stuff. And so that was meat and potatoes for a long time, was just doing cross connects for T1s and all kinds of stuff. So I've got some experience with it, and I've kind of translated that to Telefreak now. So definitely appreciate you guys being involved and helping out. And Duncan, you're always around there. And you were the first guy to show up to the Telefreak table to hold the fort down all day. I much appreciate that. And so I think we've done a pretty good job of filling up some time on Radio Statler. And
hopefully it was interesting.
Hopefully it was interesting. And the people that on Justin TV appreciate the questions and comments. And do appreciate the people on Radio Statler, pound radio-statler on irc.2600.net. Do forgive the rodent for being a little trolly and pushing back on some of that stuff. But I do appreciate the comments and questions. And definitely from my perspective and Dodgy Dave, we do appreciate you using 2600 net. So with that, we're going to kind of wrap it up here, and do appreciate Matt, our sound engineer here, keeping us all in check and sounding good.
Alrighty, no problems.
So definitely we're going to wrap up here, and then I'll be back at 9 p.m. to talk to about the precursor to my talk at 11 p.m. So so thanks for having us, and much appreciated.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go back to some music briefly. Don't go anywhere. We've got another talk coming right up, so stick around.